This is Monday Night Fallout with your hosts, Double L, Loverboy Langlois, Minister of Sinister, and T-Rock Plutonium. And now, it's time for Fallout.
Welcome, everybody, to Fallout on TLC Sunday. Wow, what a boring-ass night up until that last match, which was really good. There's some pretty heavy-duty spots, and I don't have the sheet on me, but I know I scored a lot of points tonight. So let's go to the phone lines, and we'll talk to our panel. First, the IWC Legends Champion, Double L, Loverboy Langlois.
What is going on, T-Rock? Yeah, I got my butt whooped tonight. I don't even want to know how bad my points look. So let's tomorrow night's show will be very interesting.
We'll know tomorrow. And you beat him in just by a hair. Ladies and gentlemen, the IWC World Heavyweight Champion, Minister!
Hey, what's going on, guys?
It's not usual that you're not the first one to call in.
Oh, yeah, it is a bit unusual, but I was having problems getting my shit together here. And what an exciting pay-per-view that was, though. Very exciting.
What, you thought so? I didn't.
I'm totally fucking around, guys. Yeah, man, I didn't care for the pay-per-view, man. But the last part, you know, I got to tell you, man, the whole time, and this last match was the only match that I was sold on for the entire pay-per-view. And, of course, I had called Charlotte to win. Yeah, out of the entire pay-per-view, this was the only match that they had sold me. So,
But Minister, it may sound crazy, but for me, I also bought the whole beatdown of Baron Corbin, because that was a feel-good moment. I think that was like...
Oh, man, that pissed me off. Are you kidding me? And tomorrow night,
Kennedy
McMahon will be on Raw to rectify the situation.
Rectify the situation. I don't know. I don't remember if I called Braun Strowman a winner or I said Baron Corbin. I think I probably said Baron Corbin, but... And let's go to the other host of the show.
Yeah, I think we all called Baron Corbin.
We all picked Baron Corbin?
I think
no,
we did.
I picked Baron to lose.
Well, Kurt Angle was there, but a lot of other people were there as well. We'll have to look at the points, but all I know is there's a lot of extra credit going around, and I don't have to get any of them, the rest of them right, you know, so... Not being all cocky or anything like that. So we got the panel. We're here now, TLC Live. It starts off with a ladder match in the pre-show. What the fuck is this? Did you catch this? Double L, you got the first slot tonight. Double L, did you catch the pre-show?
I caught about 20 minutes in, because for some reason I thought it was starting at 5 Mountain instead of 4. So I actually caught the tail end of the 205 Live match. So I didn't catch the beginning of it.
Oh, the 205 Live match. Okay, so I didn't even know there was one. I forgot about it, so I don't know who won. But, yeah, okay. Minister, did you see the pre-show?
No, I did not. In fact, I was an hour late getting into the whole pay-per-view. I was pulling up at the house and came to find out that, you know, it was already in progress, like 3 matches in or something. Not counting.
Wasn't it like, for me, it seemed like every match and everything was just so long and ridiculous.
I mean, I didn't catch the pre-show. I might want to go back and check that out because those Buddy Murphy Cedric Alexander matches are really good. I don't care
about
Elias and Bobby Lashley.
Elias and Bobby Lashley was also on the pre-show. That's why I said it's a ladder.
Oh yeah.
That was
on
the pre-show.
Yeah,
I don't know why that was on the pre-show. You could have put the Christian
Natalia.
Yeah, that one. You can put that one on the pre-show or fucking something else. I don't know. But that's a I don't know. The best match, I think, might have been Randy Orton and Rey Mysterio because that was a lot of chairs. I mean, the AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan match was good as well. But I think SmackDown really kicked it. Christian, what do you think? You think SmackDown did better than Raw tonight?
Of course, hands down. And I did... To answer your question, I did watch the pre-show, and I knew my boy Elias would beat Bobby Lashley. I knew he would win.
Bobby Lashley. All right, so the guitar was taken down, and whoever gets the guitar first wins. But Lashley stood tall, so double L. Are we getting more of this?
Oh, God, yeah. We're getting more of this idiot Lashley and bend over and... you know, kiss my ass crap. And yeah, we're going to see more of it. I mean, the only plus side of this is for Elias that it's keeping him on TV every single week. That's the only plus side of this. I think we could probably all agree with that because Elias is the only reason why we even care about this feud. Has nothing to do with Bobby Lashley, but yeah, it's not over. Leo Rush and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I'm not thrilled.
Okay, Minister, do you have any last words about Elias? We can move on. Minister, hello, you're on mute.
Oh, yeah, I don't care to see Bobby Lashley, but what are you going to do, man? I mean, you got to keep Elias in there somehow. They're both mid-carders. I guess this feud continues. Not that I'm for it, but...
So, next up on the card, the opening match of the pay-per-view, which is ridiculous. Like, I think that the Seth Rollins match probably should have opened the pay-per-view. But Jinder Mahal and Alicia Fox versus R-Truth and Carmella. And I was watching this as I was driving in the car. And, wow, there was some interesting action. And then R-Truth, like, said they're going to Connecticut for their vacation. So number 30 in both Rumbles, R-Truth and Carmella. And nobody gets any points for any of the mixed match challenge, anything. Double L, what did you think of this opening?
You know, I think what they tried to do is they tried to put a lot of energy into the opening because they knew R-Truth, you know, had his song going on, and it did. It brought a lot of energy to it. You know, R-Truth, for me, man, the dude's always been entertaining. You know, he's taken a bunch of crap. He's never really reached, you know, very big heights. But the dude is still out there. He's still doing the jump splits. And I think it's pretty damn cool that he's still doing this. Now, I am surprised that he gets the 30th entry into the Royal Rumble. That was a bit of a shocker. But pick your poison. That's either him or Jinder Mahal's gag. So thank God Jinder didn't get the 30th entry. So I guess, I mean, you can't be too disappointed. But, I mean, it was entertaining, you know, to say the least, because Truth's an entertaining dude. And you got to remember, Carmella is a former women's champion. You've got to keep her relevant somehow. You can't just brush her under the rug. I may not like her that much, but, you know, you still got to keep her around. So, I mean, I wasn't mad, but I didn't really care. So you can't be mad at something you don't care too much about.
Minister, number 30 now usually is a surprise, or who's number 30? Now it's R-Truth and Carmella. And the other thing is this opened the show. I mean, did you catch this at all, or did you have to fast forward?
No, not at all. I was shopping. I was out doing some shopping, not even aware that the pay-per-view was starting at 6, my time. You know, what happened, man? They all start an hour early now. I should have known when they had, you know, 12 matches on the freaking card. But I didn't even think about it, to be honest. And R-Truth, like, you know, I have to agree with Double L. He's very entertaining. I'm always entertained by him. I actually like the little break dance that they do, or whatever the hell they call it, their little spot where they come out and interrupt shit. You know, I'm okay with that. Carmella, you know, I have to agree with Double L. you know, you can't sweep her under the rug. You got to keep her somehow relevant. And I guess this is the way to do that.
All right, so number 30 is already set. Let's go to Christian. Christian, what did you think of the winners, R-Truth and Carmella? And they didn't go someplace fabulous with their all-expense-paid vacation. They went to Connecticut.
This was awful. What a way to ruin a mixed match challenge tournament. The finals is awful. And this pretty much spoils that the fucking Rock is going to win the Royal Rumble now. There's no denying it now. Rock's winning. Rock's winning the fucking Rumble. We're going to get Brock versus Rock.
That's a WrestleMania match, though. I mean, really. If you want to talk.
It is. You got to admit. Like that is a WrestleMania match right there.
It is.
Seriously, you know how many people would come in now? Because The Rock, you know, yeah. Okay, last time he wrestled at WrestleMania, he's The Rock, and he was doing good. But he's doing much better now. And he's like, yeah, The Rock, you know, hey. Like, I think that the eyes are going to be more focused on the product. If that is the case, as young Master Christian has a tendency to say, I mean, it's going to bring the casual people say, oh, The Rock's wrestling again? I have to tune in and see the rest of the six-hour piece of shit.
Hey, I just happened to be in New York that weekend. I got to go to that. You know, you're going to get a lot of that shit. So,
they
got to pack that stadium, man. It's a big stadium. So, hopefully they give it to us in a good way, you know, where we can enjoy it.
No, Rock's going to lose. Brock's going to win. He's going to retain, and then somebody else is going to beat Brock. Because either way, whoever wins, they're both still part-timers, and we're never going to see the Universal Championship ever again. We all
Yeah, but okay, but here's the thing. Why can't look Brock Lesnar, he leaves for months on end and comes back and goes back and forth. Why can't Rock do that with the title? He can still be a movie star. He can come back 3 months later, oh, here to defend, and then go do something and come back another 4 months later. He doesn't have to do full-time. Give him the Brock schedule. You know, do a movie here. Do this. Come for WrestleMania season. Let's go crazy.
It's true.
I don't know.
It's true.
No more Saudi money, though. Yeah. So it's more of a one-shot deal. Triple threat for the SmackDown Tag Team titles. New Day, Usos, and The Bar with no stipulation except the fact that it's a triple threat. Now, this match could have done with a table or a – you know what I mean? Like, this could have done with something. Double L, what did you think of the New Day, the Usos, and The Bar retaining?
Well, you know, I mean, the match itself definitely wasn't bad. I mean, you know, the Usos are always entertaining. New Day is always entertaining. The Bar, but yeah, I agree. There should have been some sort of stipulation. I mean, I don't know what, because they already had a tables match. They already had a chairs match. They already had a TLC match. I mean, I'm not sure what you could do with it. But, I mean, the match itself, it wasn't that bad. It was fairly entertaining. I mean,
they could do a ladder match and not do the Elias Bobby Lashley ladder match, which didn't need to be a ladder match.
Right.
It was
going to
be on the pre-show. They could have had this a triple threat ladder match for the tag team. Come on.
Yeah, that's a good point. Absolutely.
You don't want to see that. You don't want to see the Usos, the New Day, and the Bar in a triple threat ladder match for the tag team championship.
Yeah, man.
Over Elias versus Bobby Lashley. For a guitar. Get the fuck out of here. This is why the company is failing. Minister, did you watch this first?
No, I did not watch this, but thanks for sparing me. No, man. I mean, yeah,
it could have been more entertaining if there was something at stake,
you know, at stake, but there wasn't. I'm glad to hear that it was a good match, you know, and I missed it, but, you know, oh, well. The Bar winning. The thing is, I was expecting for the New Day to turn heel. You guys had me convinced that New Day was going to turn heel. So it was kind of shocking when I read up on it and see that that didn't happen.
I said nothing of the sort. Christian from Philadelphia, was it you?
Yeah, I said New Day was going to turn heel, but it's going to be later on. It's going to be later on. But, yeah, the Bar retained. But now we have to ask the question, what now? What's going to happen now? Who's going to face the fucking Bar for the tag titles now? Who? The Blood and Brothers again? Who's left? Who's really left in the SmackDown tag division right now?
The other team, man. The new guys. The little short guy. The short guy, Eric Young, and them.
But seriously, who's left, dude? Like, I don't want to see these three teams fighting against each other again. I've seen it multiple times, and it's a good match. But it gets fucking tiring seeing the same teams fight over and over and over each fucking SmackDown. Watch. The fucking Usos are going to fight the Bar again this Tuesday. Watch.
That's what they do with tag teams, though, Christian. I mean, look back at the early 2000s with the Hardys, Edge and Christian, and the Dudley Boys. It was the same three for, like, two straight years. Now, granted, they had, you know, TLC matches and tables matches and shit like that. But that's what they do with tag teams. They can't have 10 tag teams on a show. I mean, I'm with you. Don't get me wrong. I understand what you're saying. But that's just kind of the way the tag team divisions have always worked.
Yeah, but fair point to that. But here's a counter argument. Those teams actually had charisma. Those teams actually had character. Those teams actually had history. Those teams actually put the match to the tag team division. These three are still technically new, and it's boring now. The fucking Usos are dead in the waters. The New Day needs to turn heel very fucking bad. And the fucking Bar is just decent at best. That's the state of the tag team division in both brands. They both are awful.
Yeah, SmackDown's
all right,
at least
fair
better,
enough. How do you really feel about the tag teams? Let's move on now. Baron Corbin comes out in Corbin-esque fashion wearing a vest. He hasn't worn that vest in a while. He comes out. Heath Slater's there. I think we talked about him being in the match. And then, you know, everybody thought Angle would come out or somebody, but Strowman came out at the count of like 9 or 8 or whatever. He came out and said it's a no holds barred match, ring the bell. And then everybody, all the faces, out they came. And they faced off with Corbin and they all beat him with the help from Kurt Angle. The Angle slam, Balor with the coup de grace, and Braun Strowman wins. And there is no more Corbin elect. Double L, what do you think of the breaking news? The WWE is going to be under new management.
Well, you know, I thought that, I think wasn't it me that called that there was going to be some kind of revolt and Balor was going to be a part of it? I called it and boom, it happened. And I loved it. I actually really liked the spot a lot. But here's my problem with it. It happened too soon. It should have happened at, say, maybe the Rumble. It should have happened, you know, I'm surprised that they took this away from Baron Corbin so soon because it kind of became the way Raw was going. I think it was too soon. I think it needed at least another month or two to kind of fester and boil up. And then you get more than just, you know, idiots like Apollo Crews out there, and you get more than just idiots like the Glorious Ones. Like you get some legit people out there, the bigger faces to come out and go against them, like the Rollins. And so it was a good spot. I liked it, but it came too soon.
Why don't you have Drew and what's his bucket come out, and then you have Elias. Elias comes out, and then you know, like to even up the score, and then so.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're gonna build that route.
Yeah, build this kind of thing up until I mean, you're gonna start creating some pretty decent pay-per-view matches from that shit. You know, I mean, you start building the factions on both sides, and then. You know, that's when you have your head-to-head. That's the way this whole story should have gone. It was too soon. I mean, you're absolutely right, T-Rock.
I know, and we're going to hear a lot about that tomorrow night at the top of the second hour when we discuss the predictions for the pay-per-view. Because if you don't know and you've never heard the show, we do a Monday show, and we do predictions before the show. And then tomorrow night, after we talk about Raw, which should be good because Vince McMahon is going to be there, and there's going to be a new general manager, which should be Hulk Hogan if they want ratings. I mean, you know, ratings are tanking, so the only thing I could say is Hulk Hogan. But, Minister, what did you think of no longer a Corbin dynasty?
The whole thing's a travesty, man. Like Double L said, way too soon. I mean, they jumped the gun on this. And, you know, man, they just started selling me Baron Corbin. I'm really starting to like this dude. And now they take it all away from him. And I hope to God that this doesn't finish off with him fucking feuding with Slater. Because that type of shit right there, man, that's some bullshit chicken shit, man. Slater only got the 7. And then fucking Strowman's music hit, and he walks all the way around King Neckbeard and shit. And then, and you know, why did Slater keep counting to 10, damn it? It's a conspiracy against Corbin. And tomorrow, Vincent Kennedy McMahon will be in-house to rectify the situation. Bet on that.
Who is gonna be the new general manager? Who do you think?
It's gonna be Baron Corbin.
Again, really?
It has to be. He's the GM. He's the constable or whatever. I can't think of Raw without him being that right now. I mean,
Bring back Kurt Angle. No, you got to bring Hulk Hogan or Sting. Sting, like somebody like that. How about Shawn Michaels? Bring him in. Shawn Michaels would be a great GM because you could just bring him in for the pop. You know, get Bret Hart out there. Double L, before I get to Christian, who do you think will be the new GM?
Oh, Jesus, I have absolutely no idea. Hey,
Alexa
don't put
Bliss.
It past him. Do something stupid like Alexa Bliss.
May happen. Christian. We have a new vacancy in the WWE job pool. Were you replying?
I think it's going to be Broken Matt Hardy to be the new GM.
That's a good idea. That keeps him relevant, busy.
I kind of like that. Yeah. The Broken Brilliance in charge of Raw. Raw's going to finally become a Broken.
You just sounded like an Italian. Like, it's gonna be a broken arm.
Oh, get a spicy meatball.
Spicy meatball. Hey, a party. All right, win a Braun Strowman.
But seriously, though, the reason why I keep saying Matt Hardy is because he tweeted out showing himself wearing a suit. He's been teasing it, and I think it's going to be Matt Hardy.
Yeah, well, there you go. It's good stuff right there.
Man, he's doing that just to tease you, man.
It might happen.
Tables match. Natalya versus Beaky Riot. And everybody else went through a table. And then finally Natty put her through a table, which is good. But this is when it started. This, in my opinion, in this pay-per-view, this is when the next few matches were nothing but slow and methodically boring and pacing, and they would take forever to get to their spots, and they would finally get there, and then something would happen, but then they'd have to wait for somebody else to get their spot, and then wait for somebody else to get their spot. And Natalya won. Double L, what'd you think of this match?
Way too long of a match. I'm sorry. Way too freaking long. It just is an unnecessary match. This is the kind of feud that can be settled on Raw. It did not need to be on a pay-per-view. I had a sudden flash just when, you know, when Natalya pulled out the Anvil Neidhart coat and the glasses, she pointed up to the sky, blah, 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 dramatics. I'm wondering if we're going to see less and less of Natalya and if this wasn't maybe kind of her swan song. I mean, she's been around for a long time. She really has no relevance in the title hunt. This was the only storyline she had. We know that they're going to move the Riot Squad on from this. I'm wondering if this was the last time we're going to see her on a pay-per-view.
The Riot Squad loses again.
Again.
Well, Beaky, you have to know, man. She's the Bray Wyatt of WWE Women's Division. She's so ugly. She looks like a freaking crow, a bird, which is why you might hear birds in the background. I don't know. But yeah, she's so freaking ugly, man. She has to lose every time. And that's just, she's going to be the loser every time. It's like Christian said.
Shut your ugly hole. Shut your ugly face. Shut up.
It's like Christian said, man. She's there just to lose. She's a loser. She's a freaking loser. Just like Bray Wyatt, she's the women's Bray Wyatt. She's the loser.
What is that, Crow? Christian from Philadelphia. Yeah, the Beaky crew loses again.
I hate repeating the same subject every fucking week. Break this fucking stable already. They are fucking useless. Three against one. And by the way, this is dumb booking too. It's a no disqualification match. Why don't those three fucking bitches just gang up on her and put her through a table? Hmm? Why didn't they do that? Oh, that would be too simple. Nope.
They're not gonna do
seriously.
That. No. That's illogical. No, that ruins everything. They have to be banned from ringside then.
Break this fucking stable already. This stable fucking sucks. She's
no,
even worse than Bray Wyatt.
Shush, they're going to come over to your locker and draw it with lipstick.
She's worse than
gonna,
Bray Wyatt.
They're going to tell on you for smoking in the restroom at school. You're a mean girl, man.
She's worse than Bray Wyatt at this point. She's the female version of Kurt Hawkins. She's worse than Bray Wyatt.
Oh, shit.
Worse than Bray Wyatt. I wouldn't have thought that. All right. Okay, so we're going to WrestleCorp. I posted the link, but something he changed the page or something. WordPress changed because it was really difficult. So if you're listening in WrestleCorp, it's amazing that you are, but it's there, so good for you. So anyway, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to finish up with TLC, but we're going to hear about what's on the network, and then tomorrow night we'll be back on regular time for Monday Night Fallout, and we'll talk about Raw with Vince McMahon, but we're going to take a break, and when we come back, 2-3 more long-ass matches, and then a great finale, all right here on the TLC Pay-Per-View 2018 Fallout Show. We'll be right back after this.
Rising from the depths of oblivion, materializing out of the ether, lost, found, the greatest talk show that will ever be. Return to the World Generation Podcast Network. Stay tuned for more.
You want to see something really scary?
Everywhere are signing up to join
WrestleCorp, WrestleCorp.com.
Enlist yourself in the best wrestling news, wrestling opinion, and of course, the best wrestling commentators in the history of mankind. Grab your gear and join
WrestleCorp.
Sit yourself down in the gorilla position and come join the fight to make wrestling a worldwide phenomenon. Join
WrestleCorp, WrestleCorp.com.
From bell to bell, are you ready?
Monday nights on the World Generation Podcast Network. In association with Bud's Backroom, the greatest wrestling podcast. Monday Night Fallout returns with T-Rock Plutonium, Loverboy Langloy, Minister of Sinister, and special appearances by the Wolfpack, Hollywood KV, and more. Plus the rebirth of the IWC. Stay tuned on the World Generation Podcast Network. Monday nights will never be the same again.
Get a half-gallon bucket of thirst-quenching soda pop. Go ahead, take a big gulp. And then feel the relief. If your thirst is too big for a big gulp, have a new half-gallon Big Burp soft drink. Now only 59 cents at 7-Eleven. At 7-Eleven, the price of gas just went down.
Welcome back, everyone, to Sunday Night Fallout, the TLC Fallout review show, podcast, whatever you want to call it. We've been here forever, and we're doing this forever, and if you're listening to us, thank you. Okay, and speaking of forever, this next match seemed to just go on forever with two characters that have absolutely no in-ring chemistry whatsoever, and the match was so awful and hideous that it was the start, I believe, of the downfall of mankind. Double L, what did you think of this awfully boring match?
Which match was this? I don't even remember.
Baron Corbin, or not, sorry, Drew McIntyre versus
Finn Balor.
Finn Balor
and McIntyre. Oh, my God. It was a match full of McIntyre gets a good bump. Balor's on the ground, standing over him menacingly, like 15 freaking times. Okay, we get it. Do that spot once or twice, and then shut up and wrestle. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You're right, man. It was boring. It was drawn out. I mean, talk about marching McIntyre, who had an opportunity to really start stepping up and becoming, you know, a member of the title hunt. Talk about starting the slow walk towards career suicide with this match. I mean, this is a match that defines careers, you know, because it's that bad. I just can't even.
It's just double no chemistry. These people have absolutely they had no chemistry, I don't think. I think that,
no.
I mean, they could do the moves, but I don't think anything was sparking anybody's interest. Minister, I'm going to go refill my drink, so talk a minute about why you loved this match.
I could talk for a good while, man. I could talk for a couple of minutes if you want. Listen, by this time, guys, I had already watched two matches. I had barely watched two matches, okay? And that was the freaking the previous one with the Ruby Riott and Natalya, and then the freaking the whole Baron Corbin and Braun Strowman shit, okay? So by this time, I'm really starting to nitpick and criticize a freaking pay-per-view, man. And it felt like I had been watching it forever. And I was barely three matches in. So I can't imagine sitting through the whole fucking shit, man. Come on. But yeah, you're absolutely right, Double L. This whole thing with the menacing bullshit, I mean, we get it. You're big fucking dude, and that's that. We give you that. But God damn it, man. Don't overdo that shit. And then what's weird about this, though, is that on Fatal 4-Way Radio, we all picked Drew Mack to win, okay? I don't know how we did here, but on Fatal 4-Way Radio, we all picked Drew Mack to win. But shortly after the match started, it just felt like I was waiting for fucking Ziggler to come out and interrupt the match, which is exactly what freaking happened. And then Balor fucking won because of that, as a result of fucking Ziggler being out there with the shenanigans and shit. And it's like, fuck, man, we should have known. We should have known that Ziggler was going to go out there and do this shit.
Well, we all said that neither one of these men could really lose. And then we also said that Finn Balor needs a win. Like, what? You know, he needs to win something.
He did.
And he did. Christian, what did you think of the slowest, boringest? Like, I didn't even know Ziggler because I was zoned out. Like, at the end, I saw him and then They came to the interview, and there was Ziggler. I told you, I'm like, he interfered? Oh, I must have missed that part while I was not paying attention.
Okay, so you're all right. This match was boring and slow. But I have to tell you what pissed me off the most was the ending towards the match and afterwards. First off, the ref clearly saw Ziggler holding a fucking chair and was about to hit Drew, but Drew countered. Doesn't that fucking mean a disqualification? Shouldn't fucking Balor be disqualified for that? He just saw Dolph hold a steel can and was about to hit fucking Drew. That's a
hold
fucking
hold and about, not he did, but he didn't hit him. It, hold and about. You just said it. You answered your question with your answer.
Yeah, it's stupid. It's fucking stupid. But what pissed me off the most, right, was after the match, fucking Finn Balor was backstage and fucking Drew, Dolph Ziggler attacks him. So wait a minute. He's a heel now again? Then what the fuck was the point of the breakup then? Dolph Ziggler just went back to being a fucking heel.
Well, whatever happened, I'm sure you want to go back and watch this match. So if you really need help falling asleep at night, go back and watch this match. You'll be asleep before you know it. Guaranteed. I guarantee it. All right. Now we come to extra credit worth a million points that I got. And I, well, Christian, did you get it? Who else took the extra credit?
Me.
Yeah, so somebody took the extra credit on a match that wasn't even scheduled on Monday. It wasn't even scheduled for it to be a chairs match, and we didn't know that Rey Mysterio was going to win, or did we? Double L, Rey Mysterio wins. Not a bad match. Actually,
a pretty good
bright spot, I think.
Yeah, I agree. But the reason why it was a pretty good bright spot is because look at who's in the ring. You got two veterans of the WWE who knows what it takes to put on a good match on a pay-per-view like this. They know what they've got to do. And they know that they need to sell it. They know that it needs to look good, every aspect of it. And that's what these two professionals did. You know, that's the difference between the current generation of superstars, the younger dudes who, you know, they want to take the bumps, but they got to move on to the next one. But these guys, I mean, they played it out. They sold it right. The only disappointing part of it was the very end when, I mean, I'm sorry, but Randy Orton slams his face on a chair and then is all of a sudden sitting upright in it. That was pretty dumb. I didn't like that at all. But other than that, yeah, it was a good match. I did not expect Ray to win. I expected Orton to keep on going with his running through people like he did with Jeff Hardy. So I was actually kind of surprised by this. But, yeah, it was a good match. I think the placement of it, considering the matches around it, was probably spot on.
Well, yeah, I mean, but this is another one that could have opened the damn show. I mean, I can't tell you enough about how the crowd, later on in the night and going forward, are calling it boring. And it's like, well, that's not good for a pay-per-view, but it makes perfect sense to me. Minister of Sinister, what did you think of the chairs match that wasn't supposed to be? And did you see Randy Orton test the chair he was going to sit up in and realize it wasn't going to hold him, so he switched it before he did the spot? He did that on purpose because he saw, he's like, this chair ain't going to hold me up.
I saw that. And I also saw another spot where somebody put themselves underneath the chair so that somebody could do the spot and then took out the chair from underneath, but I can't remember who it was exactly. Oddly enough, though, there is a replay going on right now, and Carmella looks pretty freaking good tonight, man. Not talking about her face, but her body for sure. But yeah, Randy Orton and Rey Mysterio, man, to agree with what Double L is saying, man, the thing is, these guys have a lot of chemistry, man. They have good chemistry in the ring, and tonight, it seems like all that chemistry, all those years of doing this shit, man, tonight they were just an automatic pilot out there and everything was coming out. It just looked so natural to these guys. So that's what made it a good match, at least to me. They seemed natural doing it. Everything just flowed out. Everything seemed like it was, you know, just going right. The gears were fucking oiled, well oiled. And, you know, you got a good match out of these two tonight. It was surprising. And you're right, T-Rock. This match would have been a great way to start out the show, even though I would have missed it.
Well, yeah, the chair started with the chairs match. Make switch this with the tag team title match. Make that a ladder match. And just have the Elias Bobby Lashley just be the pre-show. It doesn't need a stip. Have it be a guitar match. Make it, you know, still make it be the guitar match. Put a guitar and a pole or something stupid. Like, because the problem was is it started out shitty, and then, like, you know, this was good, but then we got shit again. And then you got AJ Styles, which is good, and then it's kind of like up and down. I don't know. Christian, Philadelphia.
This this was a good match. The only thing I hated was the fucking fans. They fucking ruined everything. These fucking fans, Jose fans, are fucking terrible. They're the most fickle people. They're the most fickle fans you've ever seen, man. They fucking suck to me, these fans. I'm grateful, fuckers. They're watching
what did they
do? Fucking good men. None. They were crickets. They weren't saying anything about the match that they were watching between Randy and Ray, and it was actually a good match. But no, they weren't cheering for anything. They were actually booing Ray at one point too. They were booing Ray even though he comes from California.
Because the Finn Balor Drew McIntyre match was so boring. Like seriously, like it took him a while to wake up. I'm telling you.
Yeah, but I still hate the fans. I hate those crowd. The crowd sucks tonight.
Oh, yeah. In general, I would agree with you. Nia Jax versus Ronda Rousey. And I think this is one where we all got the answer correct as Ronda Rousey beats Nia Jax. Double L. Ronda Rousey beats Nia Jax. Didn't see that one coming.
Yeah, obviously we saw that coming. The only thing about this match that I have to say I was somewhat impressed with was the fact that Nia Jax's enormous body gave Ronda Rousey an opportunity to actually look fairly decent in the ring. I mean, she was climbing up the woman to do her, you know, her knees. And, you know, I mean, it actually forced Ronda Rousey to actually do something more than just swing her arms. And, you know, obviously she couldn't do that other finishing move other than the armbar that she has because she can't lift Nia Jax up. So it forced her to do some new things. And I think we all said last week we're kind of getting, you know, the whole Rousey thing starting to kind of fade away. People are getting bored with it. I think tonight was actually a good match for her to be able to show off and just say, look, I can do some of this other shit too. You know, I mean, granted, she can't do that kind of stuff on little Alexa Bliss, but still it gave us a chance to see a little bit more out of Rousey. So I actually kind of appreciated that. The match itself wasn't great, but it was kind of neat to see, you know, to see Rousey be forced to actually do some wrestling and do something different.
Yeah, Minister of Sinister, Ronda Rousey, she's having good matches. It's not the greatest match in the world, and we didn't, you know, the ending was obvious, but, you know, Ronda Rousey's getting much better.
She is, and I have to disagree with Christian from Philly, man, with the, you know, because he had told me that she's got a Superman punch now, but it's not quite the same as a Superman punch because she was climbing up Nia Jax by placing her foot on her thigh and then delivering the punch. I mean, it still looked like a Superman punch, but it was technically a little bit different. And I think the size of Nia Jax, to go with what Double L said, I mean, it forced Ronda to get a little creative with the moves that she was doing, which made the match somewhat entertaining for me. I was okay with this match. I didn't have problems with it. I would like to have seen something different at the end besides Nia tapping. But, you know, well.
This might have had a good gimmick match to it, too, if you wanted to put a gimmick on a TLC pay-per-view that is supposed to have gimmick matches. Christian from Philadelphia, what'd you think?
I couldn't care less about this match, but the one person that pissed me off the most throughout this entire match was fucking Tamina. Why the fuck was this bitch involved anyway? She didn't do fucking nothing in this match like she was billed to do. She didn't add nothing to the story. She adds nothing to the story. She's fucking useless in this story. Why the fuck was she there? She didn't do fucking distractions. She didn't beat up Ronda when the ref wasn't looking. She didn't fucking do anything. Why was fucking there? To stand around like an idiot?
Well, She did distract Ronda at the very end.
That's about it.
Yeah, that was it. You're right.
So shit. Why is this bitch still in the company? She's so shit, just like her father was.
She has a name. A name that people recognize. Alright. AJ Styles versus Daniel Bryan in one hell of a match. What a great match this was. This was probably almost match of the night. It was a great fucking match. Like, this was good. This was good. Double L, what'd you think?
Yeah, this was a really good match. And these guys threw everything at each other. I mean, it was pretty impressive. I mean, I was kind of disappointed with the way it ended so suddenly like that. But, man, these guys were just beating the crap out of each other, man. They were throwing it all out on the line. You know, I know we all are definitely Daniel Bryan detractors 100%, but he put on a good show tonight. I mean, because he was doing other stuff. You know, he was definitely being the new Daniel Bryan. So I'm going to have to keep my eye on him because he was kind of pulling out all the stops tonight that we haven't seen since he made his return to the ring. So I was intrigued. And, yeah, I personally feel like this is definitely up there very, very close to being match of the night. Very, very close.
Very, very close. Minister, the Bella triplets. The third one finally makes his stand.
Well, I don't know, man. The funny thing is I fell asleep during the commercials that they had after the Ronda Rousey match. I fell asleep, and then I would wake up every now and then, and there was some wrestling going on in the ring between Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles, but I missed a good part of it, man. I probably saw the last 5 minutes of it, and it was really good, a really good 5 minutes to watch. These guys went at it grappling really well with some different things I hadn't seen. So I liked it. I enjoyed it. I might have to go back and rewatch this. And finally, Daniel Bryan I can respect.
Finally, Daniel Bryan has come back to Minister's respectful place. Christian from Philadelphia. Daniel Bryan versus AJ Styles. I think it's definitely match of the night. Like, I mean, yeah, the last match was good, but like, there were a lot of painful things that happened to those women, and that was because they missed a lot of spots but played it off well. But anyway, what'd you think of this one?
I think it was great. It was a great match, but now, what are the fans going to give shit to Bryan now? They can't boo him now. I mean, they can still boo him, but they're going to boo him for it. He didn't cheat to win. All he did was a roll-up. He countered a roll-up to AJ, and he won technically clean. So there's no reason to say he cheated or anything. He beat AJ Styles clean without the low blow. So the question is, what's going to happen now? Who's Daniel going to face after AJ?
All right, fair enough, and we will move on from this, because next up we get, which, I don't know, like, this was another slow match, like, but we have a new Intercontinental Champion, Dean Ambrose. More points for everybody around here, certain people over others. Dean Ambrose, the new champion, but this frees up Seth Rollins to go after Brock Lesnar, who's not there, and Dean Ambrose can take on other challenges, which he should, because for some strange reason, these two don't work in this dichotomy at all. It does not work. Nope, not at all. Double L?
Yeah, this was an awful match. Just plain and simple. I mean, when was the last time we saw a Rollins match where the crowd was chanting, "This is boring"? I mean, how far down Rollins had to come as far as his level goes to meet Dean Ambrose? And it was another one, just like with the McIntyre match. It was a lot of Dean Ambrose sitting there talking and, you know, nodding and, blah, 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 this is what you wanted. Blah. You know, it was a lot of that and not a lot of action. I mean, they tried to save it, you know, with a few things, like with the fist bump, and they, you know, tried to save it with Rollins having a crisis of conscience and blah, all that stuff. But, man, this match was boring. Like, I found myself looking away to my phone a couple of times. And the match was sitting right in front of me. You know, this was a rough one. And I'm really disappointed with it. And I place all the blame squarely on Ambrose. I mean, he cannot match Rollins' energy in the ring. He just cannot do it. So, I don't know. This was bad.
Yeah, it was. Minister, Sinister, what do you have to say? I know you have a lot about this terrible shit fest.
Oh, man, it was bad. It was bad, and it is. Dean Ambrose, man, he's just he cannot hang with Seth Rollins in any way. And, yeah, man, this feud needed a shot in the ass tonight, and it didn't get anything. I mean, I've never seen the fans chant, "This is boring," to Seth Rollins. Never. If it's happened, I've never seen it. But, yeah, man, I would have to wonder, though. I'm wondering right now, while Double L was talking, what are these guys talking about right now? They might be riding to the next town together or some shit, or they might be at the hotel right now. I think they're in the same place tomorrow. But, I mean, they have to have a conversation about this. The fans were fucking shitting all over them. I mean, what do you do to stop this? You got to do something. Fucking Dean Ambrose has got to fucking do something, man. Seth Rollins needs to slap him around or something. Dude, you're fucking boring. Terrible match.
Well, I think it's because he's a heel now, so he wanted to, you know, heel down his actions, but it's very heelish. It's like, it's boring heel. I don't know. This match went on longer than it needed. There's a couple matches. I mean, that McIntyre-Baylor match, that went on about 30 to 40 more minutes than it should have. And that's just ridiculous. You can go to WrestleCorp.com and speak with Best Friends NXT. The link is in the – you got to go to the front page and find it because it's there somewhere. So good
man,
luck
I
on
can't
that.
Do that tonight.
Christian from Philadelphia. Dean Ambrose versus Seth Rollins.
I fucking knew this match was going to fucking suck. I've been saying it for weeks that this match was going to fail, and lo and behold – it fucking failed because I watched fucking two straight live event matches between these two, and they have been fucking awful. Somehow, Dean, ever since he came back, he's became way, way fucking worse. He's been way worse since he came back, dude. Oh, my fuck. This match was garbage. Dean's momentum is fucking – he's so fucking slow. He's actually gotten fucking worse. Like, fuck me. All this fucker did was just jumping, fucking elbow moves to the head, fucking choke holds. Fuck, he's so fucking bad. He's gone way fucking worse than when he left. It's
maybe they didn't
want to
give it away and for the next match, and they want to do more. They want to keep building the matches. So, I mean, if you look at it that way, they can only go up from here. All right, triple threat.
Something's telling me that Ambrose is going to lose it at Tribute to the Troops, the title, to Rollins again.
Maybe. Maybe. And then again, maybe not. All right. Triple threat, TLC for the title, women's title. The thing I hated about this match, it was a good match. The thing I hated about this match was Asuka trying to climb a ladder. This lady had no fucking clue. They taught us how to climb a ladder at Amazon. You know, I think that she needs to go to a regular place and learn how to quickly climb up a fucking ladder instead of slowly like, here's one more rung. I'm waiting for my spot. I'm waiting. That happened so many times during this match. I'm waiting for my spot. Oh, here's my spot. Now I'm waiting again. And then Asuka selling like she got hit by a truck when she rolled off that table, and they're acting like Asuka's, she's weary, but she's still, like, nobody hit her. Like, what is she selling? Like, I don't know. But it was a good match. Double L?
Yeah, Asuka was rough, man. She messed a few bumps up pretty bad. When she threw Charlotte Flair through the table, I mean, she wasn't even close to the table. You know, I mean, that was bad. And then she... I mean, one of the other part of the problem, too, is I don't know if they had the microphone pumped up or what, but you could hear Becky Lynch prompting Asuka. Like when she did the bump, you know, throwing her onto the ladder, you could hear Becky Lynch keep saying, closer, 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 and Asuka would go, pull the ladder closer. So it was weird. Yeah, climbing the ladder. Oh, my gosh, how many times can you slip on a rung? Holy crap. I think probably the worst of the whole thing was Becky Lynch coming off the ladder onto Flair, and her butt landed squarely on Charlotte Flair's abdomen. I mean, I don't think I've ever heard Charlotte Flair after that, you know, ever heard her wail the way she did after that. I mean, it was clear. They could hear it all the way through the arena because, man, she got landed on hard, like to the point where I thought maybe she was going to be done for the match. So, yeah, there was a lot of missed bumps. I frankly was surprised to see Rousey come out and do what she did. That did surprise me. I wasn't expecting it. But, I mean, the match was good overall. I had a funny feeling about Asuka winning the match. I figured it was about that time. But yeah, I mean, it was a good way to end it. Asuka's finally got her title. It's, in my opinion, she deserves to have the strap, even if it's just for a little bit. So, you know, it was a good way to end it.
And Asuka and Charlotte at WrestleMania, like I said. And then Becky and Ronda Rousey at WrestleMania, like I said. And that's just how it goes. So, Minister, this match got me some points. What about you? Did it get you any points?
I have no idea. No, I don't think so. No, I went with Charlotte. I was thinking Charlotte was going to win the match. Becky Lynch, the man, was going to start chasing her, turn into the female version of Stone Cold Steve Austin, and I was way off, man. But it's truly, I mean, it's well deserved by Asuka. I'm glad she won, though. I have no problem with her winning. It was a travesty the way they did her. I mean, she fucking had that badass streak going and everything, and then ended up getting the title shot and then loses to freaking Carmella of all fucking people, and she had to swallow that pill. And so, you know, it's good that they gave her the championship, man. I'm real happy for her. The match itself, I was okay with it. There was a lot of bad spots. Like, man, that table shot she did on Charlotte was horrific. After when they showed the replay of it, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was. As far as it looked like Charlotte had gone through neck first, but when they showed the replay, she did hit back first, but it just was. A bit low.
It was so short, though. It was so like he.
That's what
he,
it was.
The table
yeah,
was still up in the. It was like on the edge. Like Cena, that happened to Cena once. Cena went through a table just right at the bottom corner, and remember his head
yeah,
went through
just
the table.
Broke off just, like a foot of it, a foot of the table, and so it didn't have the desired effect from it. And you know, and then of course there was that other move where she hit Charlotte right in the freaking gut, man. Oh my God. That was something, man. That was. I mean, was it a bad move? No, really.
I don't know,
man.
But Minister SmackDown. Like, if you look at all the good matches and all the shitty matches, SmackDown doing good. SmackDown, the AJ Daniel Bryan match, the chairs match, Randy Orton and Rey Mysterio. This match, I mean, and the tag team match was even good. Like, you, if you look at the difference in matches, I mean. SmackDown wins hands down.
Point.
The loser show, the show that is the loseriest show ever, and the B show actually had a better night.
Interesting.
I think.
Interesting point.
The matches were better. That's... I mean, yeah, Ambrose won the title, but that was awful. Christian from Philadelphia, your last word before we wrap things up.
I'm happy that Asuka won because I said Charlotte would win, but I'm happy for her. But once again, they fucking tainted another first-ever women's match by having Ronda Rousey, who had no business showing up at all, and fucking tainted Asuka's win. Like, they couldn't make Asuka win by her fucking self. Give her that fucking nice moment. And also, I forgot to say this during the Ronda Rousey versus Nia Jax match, but they started fucking booing Ronda during that match. So you know what? The fans have finally fucking turned on Ronda. And they're finally getting sick and tired of Ronda's ass. So good on them. They finally turned on that bitch.
All right. There we go. All right. So let's get our ratings and our final thoughts. If we go over the hour, that's fine. We still have some time. But we'll get our thoughts. We'll end it out because we got a lot to talk about tomorrow. And, of course, we got to see who won the prediction game. So let's start in reverse order. Christian from Philadelphia, what did you think of the show, and what is your rating? Actually, no,
this
let's go to Double L first. Sorry, Christian. Booted to the end of the line. We're not there yet. We'll stay on for a little bit. Double L, what's your rating, and what did you think of the show?
You know, it wasn't terrible. It wasn't great. I think you hit the nail on the head there, T-Rock. The Raw matches were definitely the low points. But, you know, this show did have its high points. I mean, it wasn't one of those pay-per-views where I'm sitting there waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting for it to freaking end, which there have been a few of those lately. So, I mean, it wasn't terrible. I think the AJ Styles, Bryan match, the triple threat match, TLC, I mean, hell, even the tag match wasn't that bad. So I think I'm going to have to go about, because of Daniel Bryan, AJ Styles, and the women's TLC, I'm going to go 6 out of 10.
Yeah, I would kind of agree. Plus the chairs match, again, like, that was a good match.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give it I'm gonna give it a 6 as well. Minister, what's your thoughts on...
No, I can't go that high, man. I wish I could. I haven't seen the whole thing yet. But I wasn't feeling this pay-per-view the whole time from the build. I thought the build was very lackluster. Yeah, there was some good shots in the ring and stuff, but I mean, there was not that much story for me, man. I'm really into the story part of it. And I didn't get that from this at all. So I'm going to have to go 4 out of 10.
5, did you say?
4 out of 10.
4? Bret Hart.
4 out of 10.
Jesus. Mm-hmm. All right. Christian from Philadelphia, now is your turn.
This show was fucking miserable to watch. The only two good things about the show was that Kurt Angle showed up and Daniel Bryan and AJ. So for that, I'm going to give this 2 out of 10. This was a miserable show.
Yeah, miserable, miserable, miserable. And our good friend Vertebreaker on the other site, he actually mentioned the Renee thing. What did you guys think of that? Like, she finally stood up to Graves and was talking everything about, you know, and saying nothing. Like, that was
dude,
the best.
And then during the whole Dean Ambrose match, I mean, Graves was just prodding her, and she lashed out. Even Michael Cole said, dude, shut up. We have a match to call. Like, at one point, I'm wondering, you know, Graves, are you trying to ad-lib a little bit too much here? Because you're starting to piss Renee and Michael Cole off. But yeah, Renee, I'm starting to really like Renee Young on commentary because she's not afraid to call Corey Graves out on UPS. It's a lot of fun.
This is a good storyline. I mentioned this on Fatal 4-Way Radio, which you can go back and listen to right here on the World Generation Podcast Network. But yeah, I mentioned that this Tuesday. It's a good storyline going on. I'm sorry, last Thursday. It's a good storyline going on between Graves and Young. And I'm on Graves' side, though. I think Renee Young is annoying. She annoys me with her comments. All of a sudden, she's like, oh, out of nowhere. And it's like, she sounds too butch. I hear her, and if I didn't know what she looked like, I would think she was a butch. And I don't like that. I don't like that about her.
I think, at the end of the day, I think it's going to end in a double turn. Corey's going to turn face, and Renee's going to turn heel, finally siding with Dean Ambrose. And Corey Graves is going to be the baby face supporting Seth. So one side, Corey's going to support
Corey
Graves
is the baby face? What?
Dude, that's like saying they're going to turn JBL baby face on commentary, man. Corey Graves, I mean, he just the way they've scripted him out and the way he plays it out is just almost more annoying than, you know, listening to – you know, somebody spouting off their politics. You know, it's just annoying.
Well, dude, it just looks that way. The fact that Corey Graves defends Seth and then Renee's going to defend Dean is going to be a fucking clash between commentators and wrestlers. Fucking two world wars, like, you know, in this shit. Fucking Corey Graves with Seth Rollins versus Renee Young with fucking Dean Ambrose.
Oh, God, I hope that never happens. Jesus.
Oh. All right. So on that note, we are going to call it a night. Now we'll go in reverse order. Everybody close yourself out. We'll be back tomorrow night to do this all again, talk about Raw, talk about Vince McMahon is coming and who is going to be the next general manager. Christian from Philadelphia, close yourself out.
All right, guys. I'm so sorry about this Saturday, about my show. I'm sorry we couldn't do it in time. Batman had to do some saving world, saving towns, I don't know. But rest assured, definitely, I promise you, this Saturday we're going to have a show with my co-host Batman. Hopefully he does show up, but I hope he will. He will. He'll come through because he's the Dark Knight himself. But see you Saturday at Radio Renegades. And, yeah, that's about it. Oh, and I'm also taking away Double L's title at IWC Rising, so prepare yourselves for that. That title belt's coming home with me, boy. See you later, guys.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Christian. And what an after-Christmas treat it's going to be in about 10 days, IWC Rising. Titles are on the line. And hopefully by then I can figure out how to use the new WrestleCorp dashboard. Minister of Sinister, why don't you close yourself out?
Yes, thank you. Yeah, I want to learn how to use that dashboard too, man. I talked to CL. I wanted to write some more articles, but I never heard back from him. I can't get in right now for some reason. But anyway,
oh, they changed
yeah,
it. They managed to. They changed it anyway. It's like it's totally different. Like what it was last week is not. Like I couldn't even feel. All I got was the title and the link. That's it. That's all that's on the page. It's just the title and the link. No pictures.
But yeah,
no tag.
Listen to Fatal 4-Way Radio. I know that Santori is on hiatus. Hopefully he returns soon after the new year kicks off. Hey, man, I heard you're having a party or you're having something, a show, New Year's Eve. Is that what you said
last
week?
New Year's show, man. That's every night is the New Year's show. Well, it's going to be on Monday, so it'll probably be right after this show. Like, I'm pretty sure that the Greatest Talk Show is going to be doing their midnight show on New Year's Eve.
The Greatest Talk Show is doing a midnight show on New Year's Eve. Okay, I did not know that. All right, awesome. I'll have
to
get
should,
with...
you should talk to Hollywood Tony P more
yes,
often.
Yes, I'll get to Hollywood.
Well, and it's a Monday, so, you know, it'll happen right after this show, actually. So that'll be pretty cool. WWE is going to... they're going to record, I think, right? Are they recording the New Year's show, like, and the Christmas show?
I believe so. Yeah, I believe so. But anyway, guys, listen to us. Check out the website, worldgenerationpodcast.com. And I'm Internet Radio's own Minister of Sinister, reminding you to keep it real, keep it heel, and as always, keep it sexy. Peace.
Ladies and gentlemen, your soon-to-be former IWC World Heavyweight Champion, Minister! of Sinister. Double L, you calling in first really like messed up the whole. Ministry usually calls in first. You call in second, and Christian calls in third. So, you know, usually it's just it was weird. But what are your last thoughts?
Yeah, you know. All right. Yeah, it is another fun pay-per-view night with you guys. I really enjoy the Sunday night shows after pay-per-view. It's fun having immediate reactions to the monthly pay-per-views. It's always a blast. You know, it's a minister. Always good to chat with you, my friend, T-Rock. Yeah, because you're T-Rock. And Christian, you know, dude, next time you want to talk shit, how about you don't do it on your show? How about you do it to my face? Because see, that what you did a few weeks ago on your show talking shit about the lover boy, man, that's what little boys do. And little boys can't match up to real men in the ring. So I'll see you in 10 days at IWC Rising when I swap that tasty, pale, little, skinny, white ass of yours right out of the ring. Anyway, I digress. We'll see y'all tomorrow night on Monday Night Fallout. It's going to be an interesting Raw with the chairman of the board himself showing up. Always a lot of fun. I'll chat with you guys then. This is Double L, the only true lover boy in the IWC, signing off. Peace out.
The Legends Champion, Double L, lover boy. And yes, they're absolutely correct. Tomorrow night, right after Raw, since there is no overrun, right when Raw ends, our show begins, Monday Night Fallout, and we'll have all the fallout from Vincent Kennedy McMahon making his big return. Also the big news, who is going to be the new general manager of Raw? There was a match announced between Ziggler and Balor, so all that and more tomorrow night, plus we will have the answer that's been plaguing everybody, and I know it's a question you want to know. Who won the prediction game for TLC? Well, we'll find out tomorrow night, top of the second hour, Monday Night Fallout. We will talk all about this show, who was right, and who was wrong, and all that good stuff. Plus, at WrestleCorp.com, we'll figure out how to use the website. Okay, so thank you guys for joining us. We'll see you guys tomorrow night, normal time. I'm T-Rock Plutonium. Why? Because it's what makes time travel possible. If you smell what T-Rock is cooking, we'll see you guys next time on Fallout on the World Generation Podcast Network. Be there.
been a presentation of the World Generation Podcast Network.
Number 5 is alive.